It's time now for the Wednesday Morning Coffee Club. Welcome to the Wednesday Morning Coffee Club with Bill and Jenny Sparks, Dave and Chris Rieckert, Tim Ani, and the crew. Bill will be taking your phone calls, and you will hear lots of conversation. We will have cooking tips, demonstrations of products, and much, much more.
And you may reach us by calling 1-646-558-8656. You will need the meeting ID 848-725-450. And when you're asked for a user ID, just press pound. You may download Zoom from the Play Store or the App Store.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Bill Sparks.
Gosh, it's good to be here without any problems with the computer. I better knock on some wood or, well, plastic in this particular case, but beautiful day here in Southwest Florida. I can't say the same for some of our various check-in points here in just a few minutes, but here we are, glad to be here. Let's start out with, we might as well stay here in Florida. Jenny, are you out on the lanai outside?
I am out on the lanai. It's 73 out here. It's a little, the sun's just starting to break through the clouds, and the birds are happy.
Yeah, we'll get a sound of the bird or two probably throughout the show here. So you're doing okay?
Very good. Glad I'm not in Indiana where it's freezing rain and snow and
all of that good stuff. Well, let's swing on up to Altoona, Pennsylvania. They might have a different story. They got something coming up there.
Yeah, we sure do. It's snowing. We've got about 3 inches of snow already since about 7 this morning or 7:30.
It's supposed to have 6 to 9 with a quarter inch of ice, possibly.
You may have to shovel that off as quickly as possible before the ice hits.
Yeah, really.
Well, I don't know. It's almost better to have the snow under the ice. I don't know what's the best thing to do.
Well, I guess it's going to happen. You've been really getting struck with winter the last few weeks, haven't you?
Yeah, it's been kind of lousy here. I'll be glad when it warms up.
We're going to send it to Florida.
Okay, we'll take it. Yeah, right. We'll take it there. Their biggest thing down here, they're worried about the Everglades being drilled for oil, and because that's where a lot of Florida gets their water. It's from the Everglades, and they don't want it to be doing that drilling. So we'll just have to see about that. Albany, New York, checking in.
Well, I don't know that we're going to get as much snow as the folks in Altoona, Pennsylvania, but we're definitely going to get...
Well, how about Evansville, Indiana? Michael Off.
Just recovering from a cold. I had laryngitis for 2 days, and I don't know about anyone else, but as a blind person, the two things I fear most is one, losing my hearing, and the other, losing my voice. But
that's a deadly combination, isn't it?
Yes. Boy,
we depend upon that hearing, and we depend upon that voice in order to be able to communicate. And
yeah, I had to text messages to people. It's the only way I could communicate. So,
and especially with the name of your company.
Well, and just, you know, whispering. So
yeah, effective communication.
Effective communications. Yeah, we had to
yeah,
text.
Yeah. Kind of ineffective if you can't talk, right?
Well, I could whisper, but who wants to hear that?
Well, you'd be whispering, Mike.
But I do want to caution because those of you who may be involved with NFB know that a very active person in that organization passed away at 36 by ignoring walking pneumonia. So, you know, we have to really, you know, not be so proud that we won't go get, you know, antibiotics or whatever we need if this persists. So,
Tim, our friend Tim with the Instacart order at 9 o'clock last night. Tim, how are you?
Oh, real good. We're supposed to get 10 inches of snow by 6 o'clock this evening, and it's already been snowing, so I don't know. We might get a foot or so total.
I don't know. I had a rumor you were going to call off the Tim Ani show because of snow. Is there any truth to that rumor?
No, I don't think that's going to happen here unless cable goes down or something like that, which
You can always play the request for the 11 o'clock instead of playing your usual song. You can always play Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow by whoever makes that that you have in your library.
Right.
Yeah, or that politically correct version of Maybe It's Cold.
Buddy, how are you this morning?
Okay, fine, Bill. I hope you're doing well, and Jennifer. And maybe you'll get a spring cat. I'd like to talk. Marge said, you're going to have to quit talking about Bill's cat. You're going to get in trouble.
Yeah, you're like, going to get me in trouble.
I like to hear Bill talk about a cat. I'll get him in trouble. I better hush. It's 34 degrees. We may or may not get snow. Don't know. I'll be glad when spring gets here. Everybody will be. We'll be complaining about the heat soon enough. But
that's true.
They're both warm and happy and healthy. That's what matters.
Good. That's the most important thing. Let's see.
We have an 816 area code that I don't think I've ever heard before, maybe.
Kansas City.
Yeah.
Is this Mark? Yeah, Mark.
Hello. Hey, Mark, what's going on?
Well, a couple of things. We got a lot of snow here, about another 4 inches on top of the 2 inches that we had. So everything is snow covered today, and it might melt off tomorrow. But I also want to announce about the book that's out about radio. It's actually, the print copy's been out for about 10 years, but it just got put into Braille by Horizons for the Blind. It's called Images of America, Chicago's WLS Radio. And it's in one volume. And they said the cost is $13.40, and it's available from Horizons for the Blind in Crystal Lake, Illinois.
And we've had them on before. That's great, Mark.
Yeah, and I wanted to let everybody know about it. I've read most of it already. I got a copy last week, and it's it's quite good, and a lot of things he remembers I didn't even remember, at least from the later years, from the 80s. I didn't remember
Well, I'm glad you know that one.
Yeah, they said they asked me to, when you called, to mention my name, that you heard about it from me, and then I said I would put it here on the Coffee Club, so I wanted
and
to
you
get
did,
that.
And we appreciate it, and that's Mark Marino.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we definitely will get your name out there. And we'll definitely give a plug to Horizons for the Blind. So,
yeah, thank
not
you.
A problem. Well, let's see. We got a couple more callers. Let's see. 773, probably.
That's got to be Bill.
Bill in Chicago. How are you this morning?
Yeah, it's me. It's snowing here, and we got about in the mid-20s. We got freezing rain with it, too. So we got exciting weather here. Everything's slipping and sliding this morning. And our bell's doing all right. I don't interview Bill. You'll be back pretty soon. We're going to have a snowstorm when you get back.
Oh,
Indiana. We're going to have one big snowstorm that weekend.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
And cold weather too.
And we'll keep you in Chicago. But I appreciate
it. I think we have one more in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Bill.
We got Doug. DJ Doug.
Good morning, everybody.
Who's Good DJ morning. Doug? We didn't remember. We don't know Doug, do we? Of course we know Doug.
Just checking in, saying hello, and it's snowing here as well. Sounds like a broken record, but we're getting it here too.
Any new radios, Doug?
Hey, you know, C. Crane has come out with a new one. It's called the CC Radio 3. And it's the 2E with Bluetooth, basically, is what it is. So if you've seen the CC Radio 2E, then this radio is supposed to be like that, except it has Bluetooth capabilities so that you can connect your phone to it or your Echo device or Google, whatever. And that's the difference. And people that have reviewed it say that the Bluetooth on it basically emits no noise in the AM band at all. So if you like the 2E and you think you want Bluetooth, this one is out. It was out in limited quantities, so if they're out of them, they say they're not going to get them until August.
Now, is that bidirectional so that you could feed the radio audio to a better speaker system?
No.
No. So it's only input.
It's only to feed Bluetooth to its speaker.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Doug, we're going to start you out with the first question on the panel since you're here and you're the last one in the queue. So we're going to start with you and go back around. Favorite restaurants that you and like to go to? Is there anything local to Pittsburgh or something, restaurant that you particularly like to go to or have delivered?
Well, it depends on what mood I'm in, but I tell you, if I want a good burger or just a good junk food sub or whatever, we have this bar down on 18th Street in Pittsburgh called Fatheads.
Yeah.
And they do their own beer, and their fries are like outstanding, and their burgers are good too.
I mean, you mean like outstanding, like Five Guys type?
Yes. Yes.
So, and the burgers are they real burgers or are they the fake ones?
Oh, no, they're real, and you got to hold them with two hands.
What's the name of the restaurant again, Doug?
Fatheads, and it's F-A-T-H-E-A-D-Z as in zebra.
Now, is this a chain or is it just a local place?
I think they have a bar in Cleveland, too, but it's relatively local, I would say.
What about, there's one that came to Indiana from Pittsburgh called Permanente Brothers. Is that the name of it?
Permanente's, yeah. They put everything on one sandwich, basically. It was originally a place designed so that, like, truckers could stop in and get all their meal on one sandwich. So you might have a steak and egg sandwich with fries and slaw and everything else on it. So that's kind of how they started.
Any other outstanding restaurants in your area or things you need to Pittsburgh that just stands out to you?
Well, I don't know. I'm trying to think of like local fare. We ate at a place about a month ago called the Pie Place. No, it's called Pie for Breakfast. That's what it was called.
Pie for Breakfast.
And that was kind of a wild place. It's a little bit expensive, but man, their homemade pies were just outstanding.
Now, some of your favorite ways to get in the restaurant is what? Taking a bus, sometimes an Uber, but mainly a bus to the restaurant?
Yeah, it depends. If it's easy to get to by bus, then we just take the buses over and get them back. You know, once you're over 65, you get free bus transportation here, so you can't beat the cost.
No, you can't beat the cost. Have you found yourself in your particular area, and we'll get to everybody here on the panel, are you dipping into the DoorDashes and the Uber Eats?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now, do you find things like Permanente Brother or Permanente's and some of the other places, are they available, like Fatheads? Do they deliver or...?
Fatheads is not there, but Permanente's is, and a lot of other local chains, and you know the national stuff too, like Bob Evans and things like that. But yeah, it's all here.
And let's go back to last Friday when you gave me a call. Let's do an experience that other people may have throughout the country. I think it's worth sharing yours, and this goes along the same subject. You were getting ready. Go ahead.
I'll keep this brief because I don't want to be the only one talking here for sure. I want to hear everybody else. Last Friday, I opened up Instacart because I was going to demo it Saturday at a meeting that I was attending. So I wanted to make sure everything worked. And I clicked on it and it said, 15227, your address is not serviced by Instacart. And I'm like, wait a minute, I just got an order Friday morning. What's the deal here? So I called them, their 800 support service, and asked about it. Like, what happened? I used to get service, and now I don't. The guy checked with his supervisor, and he said his supervisor told him that a lot of times they, without notice, will just change areas as to whether or not they serve them. Like now you see it, now you don't. So we had just paid our $99 for the yearly service. And I said, well, if you don't service me anymore, cancel my $99. And they did that. And we've already gotten our refund, actually. That's how quick it was. It's already on the card. But anyway, I got off the phone with him. I opened up Instacart again, and I looked at my account. It showed that it was canceled. And lo and behold, the stores were back. So I don't know what the deal is. We're going to try it for a while without having the express service and see if it really does services. But now it does seem to work.
I think the problem was with their app, Doug. And yeah. And unfortunately, this is the problem. And first of all, when you ask where their call center is, they have call centers all over the country, and they won't tell you where they are. And you, right. And you can't really talk to someone who really works for the company. These are subcontracted employees who work for Instacart, and they follow a script. And when you say, well, all of a sudden it doesn't serve the area, well, they're told, well, if that's the case, this is what you say. And that part of the problem is that they don't understand the complexities of running an iPhone app, and why is the iPhone app down all of a sudden? I mean,
just the iPhone, Jeff. It was the web, too, because I tried both.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. The whole site had a problem, because I saw that once in Albany. I said, well, that's ridiculous. I just got an order the day before. This happened a few months ago. You just delivered me the day before. So I said, well, I'll just wait till the next day. And when I waited the next day and the total groceries, it was back again. So, but they really should better put their error messages up. If it's like that, they shouldn't sit there and say you're not recognized. There has to be a better way of getting that app to work properly.
I guess
we had some trouble with that last night, where it said when we ordered at about 7 o'clock, it said they weren't going to be delivering for 5 hours. Well, wow. I don't even know if they're open that late, because that would have been put it closer to midnight. But it ended up showing up at about 9 o'clock, so I don't know.
You never know, but I guess the reason I had you tell that story, Doug, I just wanted to point out to people what can happen and how quickly it can change.
Well, I'm glad I did, because Jeff, I'm glad that I'm not the only one that had the problem, and not to worry about it anymore.
Well, one of the things that Mike talks about too about these grocery services is you got to be careful with the prices. And an example of this was I happen to like chicken leg quarters, and you roast them up, and you roast them for an hour in the oven, and they come out great and they taste great. You season them up, and they're good. My ex-wife, Kristen, said to me, you know, they're on sale at Price Chopper for 77 cents a pound. I said, that's a pretty good price, because they're normally either $99 a pound or a dollar something a pound, $1.19 a pound. So when I contacted Instacart and looked at Price Chopper, which is the local supermarket in my area, lo and behold, they were there for 77 cents a pound, which means that they weren't jacking up the price, which I really enjoyed. I was ready to say, if they were more than 70 cents, I was ready to say, Kristen, why don't you go to the store with me? I'll pick them up at 77 cents a pound rather than 99 cents a pound.
There you go. Let's go to Dave and Chris. Dave and Chris, favorite restaurants in your area, and has that changed for you lately?
Yeah, we found
it's a local restaurant.
It's a local restaurant, and it's all home cooking. Mm-hmm. And we went out there. We were going to do some other things, and we stopped at the Springhouse restaurant. And I had some of the best bought fried chicken I've had in a long time.
It actually still comes on a bone and everything. Their food was excellent. And we have another place called, well, it's not right here, but it's called Mamie's. That's really good. It's home cooking. But as far as chains, if we were going to talk about chains, one of my favorites is Red Robin.
Yeah.
You're a big Red Robin.
Yeah, they're good.
I like them too.
Yeah, you like those endless fries, don't you?
No, I like the burgers, actually.
They don't have endless burgers, Chris, unfortunately.
No, but the burgers are outstanding. They are so good. And Annie Brothers is good, too, though.
So you like that. Now, you've been introduced lately, Chris, and this is changing some of your cooking habits. We don't want to give you a secret out here, but something called Uber Eats, and you've been sampling a few stores from there?
Yeah, we've tried Uber Eats, and it works really well here.
And it's growing, I'm glad to see.
And we have in this area Sheetz.
Like a convenience store.
Yeah, and they have burgers and fries and subs, you
hot
name
dogs,
it.
Hot pizza, dogs. And I don't know what all, breakfast sandwiches. Now, they don't deliver items out of the convenience store, only food.
Only food.
But they are good.
They have build your own burgers, and you know, you can tell them exactly what you want, and they use the Black Angus beef.
And you just go in and tap onion or tomato, and you can just select as many things as you want and
put on there.
It in the cart, and they just build it.
I'm just gaining weight every time I listen to you guys. Yeah. I can tell.
Now we're going to go to the Lanai just right across from me. I got through some glass and all that stuff. Jennifer, do you have a different perspective on favorite restaurants or places, either A, you like to go or have them ordered?
Well, one place that we like to go here, either go or have it delivered, either one, is Texas Tony's. If you like barbecue, they're really good. And their rub they put on their meat is so good, you don't even have to put barbecue sauce on it.
Yeah, if you like outstanding barbecue at a reasonable rate, this place has it for you. I mean, it really, really, really has it for you. And you can get a wide variety, everything from salads to baked potatoes, French fries, onion rings, and just tons of salads and pulled pork like Dave likes and brisket and chicken and all kinds of different things. You know, St. Louis style ribs, any kind of thing that you would want, you can get at this place. Jennifer, do you like? Go ahead.
They even have sandwiches. They have a sandwich. What was it called? A sloppy Tony that had all pulled pork and slaw and onion rings and something else on it.
Oh, wow.
And someone got sliders there. So they even have barbecue or, you know, those sliders. You also like down here, of course, I guess there's a bigger seafood selection too, so you can get some seafood. But Naples is known for their pizza. There's a lot of Italian restaurants here, and so if you like that type of fare, that's here quite a bit. So,
oh yes, and there was a nice little restaurant we went to that wasn't too far from here. That was called De Giulio's. That was Italian, and it was really good too. But it's nice because the restaurant is separate from the bar, so you can go in there with your family. And
one of the things we're going to do, maybe in a future air segment, maybe I'll record it next week or two. We've been listening to in the morning or having our coffee is a radio show, and he mentions all of these. It's a local talk show called from WGUF called Naples Talk. Well, anyway, it's the Dave Elliott Show, and it's not so much a political talk show. He talks about the happenings and facts and different things in Naples and around and all kinds of different subjects. But it's a middle-of-the-road type talk show where they don't do controversial topics. But it's just interesting radio. So I may just record that for Jeff and maybe even scope it for him.
So no problem, Bill. I'll help you out with that.
We can do that. So, Tim, let's go to you, and then we'll go to Jeff. Tim, do you have any favorite restaurants, Aaron?
Well, we have they're sort of a chain locally here, but it's a pizza place that we love that has real thin crust pizza. I mean, it's almost paper thin, and not quite, but I love that place. It's called Broadway Pizza. And then for barbecue, we usually go to Famous Dave's. I know they're pretty much a chain, but we like them a lot. We have a lot of places within walking distance of here. That there's a place called the Athens Cafe, which is Greek, and I love their food in general. We have a lot of the chains right around here, like Subway and McDonald's. And stuff.
Tim, do you like the spanakopita from the Greek restaurant?
Mm-mm-mm.
Yes.
Doug likes that, too.
Me, too.
So those are some of your places. Jeff, you have some places.
There are a few here that I like. One of them is the Warehouse Barbecue. It's local. It's not a chain. and they have pulled pork, and they have all kinds of barbecued ribs, and they have chicken, and they serve everything on like it looks like a baking sheet, but it's a tray that really has all your stuff on it, and they always give you cornbread with your meal, which is really kind of nice. The southern cornbread, it's very good. But I love Chinese food. My daughter loves Chinese food. And I like the local. There's a Chinese fusion place, they call it. It has Japanese, Thai, and Chinese. It's in downtown. It's in the city of Albany. And it's called the Saki Cafe. They don't serve fortune cookies, and you don't get the. But they have very, very good Chinese food, and it doesn't have MSG in it. I have a friend of mine who's allergic to MSG and can tell every time that it's in the food. They don't have any of that stuff in it. And at the end of the meal, they have instead of giving you fortune cookies, they give you a thing of pineapples that you can, like pineapple slices that are on toothpicks that you pass around. So that I really like. And they have desserts. They have mochi. I can't even tell you what it is, but it's a rice mixture of dessert. They have ice cream. They have other things there, but that's one of my favorite places because it's local and it's really more authentic kind of Chinese food.
Good stuff. Michael, do you want to get on the board with anything from Evansville?
Oh, yeah. Excuse me. We have a few things. As far as restaurants, local, there's a great Mexican place called Los Portales. That's very good. Chinese, there's a called Charlie's Mongolian Grill. What you do is you choose from 15 different meats and 25 different vegetables, and then either spaghetti or what they call rice noodles. I'm not sure what those are, if those are the hard noodles, but so you build your own plate basically, and that's pretty good. And there's all the national ones, but this is kind of new to me. We just got Uber Eats and DoorDash in the last few weeks, so still looking through those and finding good places. But I wanted to mention, following up on our shopping experience, that I was using something called Shipt for a store here called Meijer. And what I found was they had no method online to cancel your subscription. And so I do as I have to often do, use Google to figure out what you're actually supposed to do, because they don't make it intuitive on the website. And there is no method to cancel. You have to call a number in Alabama. And then according to the Better Business Bureau, they put people on hold and don't help them. You know, the same as SiriusXM and AOL and all those other companies, a little shady business practice. But what you could do is go in and cancel your credit card, and that they'll let you remove it. So I guess that's how you cancel your order. So that's FYI for folks ever try a subscription with Shipt and want to cancel it. That's the way to approach that. And if there's time later, I'm going to talk about a new product that's out, and it's going to be demoed in Louisville this Friday and Indianapolis on Saturday. That's a mobility tool I found kind of interesting, but that's what we have here for food.
Yes, we will get to that, and I've got another announcement we're going to talk about too in just a few minutes.
Anybody? Mike's right, because that's what I had to do with Shipt too when I wanted to cancel my subscription to it.
Anybody else on the panel want to put their city on the board? Have I missed anybody? Because
I've got one, Bill.
Okay,
somebody in North Carolina. I haven't looked at Uber Eats. I'm going to look at Uber Eats. I've had real good luck with Uber. There's one called Valley Gourmet that delivers, and I'm going to look after a while for Five Guys. That's the best hamburger, hot dog, french fries place. Man, you're making me hungry. Barbecue. Now, there's so many different barbecue restaurants. Most people, it's a cultural thing. If you're in the South, it might be tomato-based. It might be, I think it's South Carolina and Alabama, it's tomato-based, or it could be mustard-based. I don't know what they put on it up in Asheville. I like Cookout. They have vinegar-based because I was raised in Raleigh, North Carolina. That's my favorite, and I don't know if any of you are familiar with it. It's a cultural thing. Jeff, you might not like it. I don't know if they have it in New York. I don't think so, but you never know. But I'm going to look at Uber Eats. And Chinese, we have one called Shoguns. They have real good hot and sour soup. They have real good vegetables, and they have the best coffee ice cream I've ever had. And the ramen cookies are good. And their Panda Express is much better. I like their black pepper chicken. We like Roadhouse, and I'm going to look and find out who else delivers. I'm glad you brought that topic up. That's interesting.
We have, I believe, Joe and Ellen.
No. Bill has his hand raised. Bill from Chicago.
I'm sorry. Go because I saw both of their hands
raised. Because he raised his hand.
Okay, go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, in Chicago, course, we got the famous Luminati pizza, which they ship all over the world. And you got Portillo's. Portillo's is known for, well, they're known for their chocolate cake. People line up in cars in their drive-thru 2 blocks long to get their chocolate cake. And then, of course, there's all other. Chicago's got so many restaurants, it's hard to figure out which one your favorite. I like Country Buffet because blackberry season, I like their blackberry cobbler. Yeah, but there's plenty of places. McAllister's, there's all kinds of Mexican restaurants. I've been to so many, I don't, can't count them all because my grandson loves Mexican food.
Is Morton Steakhouse still in Chicago anymore, Bill?
Yep, it's still around.
Still around. They've got a lot of good steak.
Yeah, he's still around, and there's so many restaurants downtown. I think right now they say there's an average of 2 restaurants to every block in the downtown area.
All right. Eddie, there are Larry's and all kinds of places.
I like Italian Village, which is an old place.
Yeah.
And you got, of course, the real good famous one, if you like good German food, is Berghoff. Berghoff has been around since, I think, the late 1800, early 1900, really? Because they actually own the building, and their Berghoff is the family that, if you're from Indiana, there's in Fort Wayne, you get the Berghoff beer. I don't drink beer, but Berghoff beer, that's how they started with beer. And then one of the brothers came to Chicago and opened this restaurant, and it's been going, well, over 100 years, I know that. It's in the same location. They own the building. It's right downtown. And it's got good German food. In fact, my father was a foreman for Ike Berghoff at Central Soya when he was building the silos for the Central Soya place. I got a picture of Ike Berghoff and my dad. And so
we have a few other people raising
their
hands.
Ellen has her hand raised.
Yeah, I just wanted to put in a plug-in that we both do, places that we both like to go. We go to most of the chains, like Village Inn, Fuddruckers, Golden Corral, Furs. And then also at the mall, there's a couple places, you know, and there's a place that serves real good corn dogs there in the food court. We go there. We used to go to Red Lobster, but we don't need to be in that part of town anymore, so we're not doing that anymore. But, yeah, that's just some of the real places. And then as far as takeout or delivery, Pizza 9 and Pizza Hut. And so, yeah, some of those. That's usually our laundry list of food eateries, depending on what we're doing. So, there you go.
We have one more person, Bill. I think we have Shirley, I believe.
Yes, how are you? Can you hear me?
Oh, sure.
We can, Shirley. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, where we are at the moment, there's a place in the area here, and Bill, you may want to check it out because they're kind of all over the state. There's a place called 2J's, and it's a deli type restaurant, and you know, they, like I said, they have them. They have quite a few of them throughout the state, and that's probably our favorite place here. We keep telling them we, you know, would like them to come to Ohio, but I don't think we're going to have such luck.
I got a question, Shirley. You're in Florida. Do you have any kosher places where you are? Because I'm Jewish, and there are times I like to have a nice pastrami sandwich or a nice, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, they have that kind of stuff. They're not a kosher restaurant, but they do carry all that kind of stuff. Now, I understand if we wanted to go closer to Disney World, I believe there is a strictly kosher place there, because there are a lot of like really, really, you know, religious people that live down that way, and they've got a lot more like Chabad stuff and things like that. But you know, if you're not concerned about it necessarily being kosher rather than kosher style, you can get anything, you know, like that at 2J's. And they've got a couple of other places, you know, that serve things like that. But like I said, we haven't really looked for a strictly kosher restaurant. But I guess if we went more down towards Disney World or South Orlando, there are more things down that way.
Understood. Go ahead, Bill.
Does anybody else want to chime in with the restaurant before we get to Michael's talking about his the demo that's coming up on Friday and Saturday? I guess hearing none. Go ahead, Michael. And thank you, Shirley.
Okay, well, what this is a product, and the link is kind of long.
He is muted. I don't know why he's muted, because I didn't mute him. Go ahead, Mike.
Hello, radio.
Go ahead, Mike. Someone must be muting you or something.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay, all right, very good. There's a product that's out. It's being sold by APH, American Printing House in Louisville, and they're going to do a demo this Friday at the McDowell Center in Louisville, and then Saturday in Indianapolis at Easter Seals Crossroads. And if you want a link to the actual product and even purchase it or read a little bit more about it, it's on both the ACB and NFB websites for Indiana, so acb-indiana.org or nfb-in.org, and it's right on the front page. But it's called the Sunu Band, S-U-N-U Band, and it's something you wear. And what it does is it is a mobility aid that uses sonar and haptic feedback to let you know of objects that are above, below, beside, left, right, whatever, in any direction, up to 5.5 meters, which is about 16.5 feet. And apparently there's a companion app you could use on your iPhone that also gives you GPS as well, in addition to this. And with any of these devices, nothing replaces a cane or your dog, but it is a good assistive tool if you believe in something like that. The price is $299. I'd like to see it, but I'm not going to be in Louisville or Indy this week. But maybe those of you who go to the conventions this summer will be able to check that out, or if you're more interested, call APH, or maybe at some point someone will demo it in a podcast. But it sounds like an interesting device. The claim that it helps protect your face and head and things from obstacles. If any of you travel and get hit by tree branches or other debris, so I don't know how it do like things on the ground, like a open manhole cover, but hopefully you're using your cane well enough to pick that up. But anyway, it sounds like it might be a tool to investigate for those who are looking for aids as they travel out and about.
This on your wrist, Mike? Or?
Yeah, you wear it. And I'm just curious on here, if anyone thinks that'd be something you would actually use, is it within your price point? Do you think it would actually be a useful tool? Of course, you wouldn't know until you actually tested it and saw if it did what it claimed, or kind of learning how to use the different sounds that you get.
Hey, Mike, Bill in Chicago.
Yes, sir.
Is this the thing that come out of Israel? I read one time several months ago a thing that Israel was developing that worked the same way. And is this because they were trying to get it into the United States? And I think it was developed in Israel. They do recommend you still use your cane and your dog. It's just identify stuff before you get to it, like hanging branches or hanging signs or a post or something like that that you might not pick up right away with your cane. Because if you got a hanging sign, your cane, they're going to tell you that's up there, and you're going to whack your head off with it. But
well, then it works indoors as well, so you could use it for doorways.
Right, right.
It
does everything, right.
Restaurant, we got tables and chairs and obstacles. Mm-hmm. It could be a useful tool, I think. I think I could actually derive some benefit from it. I believe it is, Bill. I noticed the website said it is available again, so apparently they sold some, ran out, and had to, catch up with demand.
And how do you hear this thing? Does it make noise, or do you have to wear headphones with it?
It vibrates.
Oh, it vibrates. Okay.
It vibrates in your hands.
Why is it good for things that are over your head that your cane wouldn't find? Because I know I never hear them, so that would be a good thing.
There were handheld devices that did this. I think that's really neat that it's on your wrist and it frees your hand up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does sound like...
Yeah,
it's not outrageously expensive either. A lot of those laser canes and things like that are cost a small fortune, and then if you had to fix it.
The handheld units cost more than this does, so that's pretty reasonable, really.
Yeah, that was the Mowat sensor, the older device.
That was one of them. There are a few others, but I can't remember what they were. But yeah, I remember that one.
Especially if it could be a big addition to your travel. I don't know. It's something you wouldn't want to use in a house or where there's a lot of objects around, I suppose, but it could especially help you if you're out traveling. Do you think, Doug, or anybody, would it help you if you were walking down the street and there was a manhole cover or something in the sidewalk or something like that? Or is this just a bug?
I don't know.
Well, according to the demonstration, when I heard, it will not cover like open holes because it only does stuff at, say, ground level, like a post, a chair, a barricade, anything sitting in your way or anything over your head that you might run into. It doesn't do anything. It's not a navigator. It has no GPS on it or anything like that. It's just an alert system is what it is. But as far as a manhole cover, you better have your cane and know what you're doing because I had a friend of mine. He was several years ago on Washington Street downtown. There was a place called Carroll Clothing, and they unload their stuff from the street into one of those elevator manholes, doors in the sidewalk. And he was walking along, and his cane didn't catch it in time, and he fell down in the hole.
That happened to me, Bill. There was a supermarket, a local supermarket, that had their thing open, and they had only half of it open. So my cane went over it. I didn't feel it. I didn't see that there was an opening there, and I fell through.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's not a pleasant experience.
Well, now in the city of Chicago, they have to put barricades when they open one of them up. I don't think they use them much anymore now, but when they do, they have to put a barricade. It's a city law now.
Well, I wonder if that could help people that have some hearing loss, but also that reminds me, this is something I grew up old school 70s. You were taught to tap, as you put your right foot forward, you tap to the left. And now I saw the logic and wisdom of actually keeping the cane on the ground, having a good roller tip and doing it that way. And I get a lot more feedback from the sidewalk and the ground. So I'm curious, anyone has thoughts on that, one versus another, or certainly if you're in a group of people, you'd have a different technique. But I found that to give me a lot more data that I just wasn't taught that and never saw the logic of it until recently, in the last 2 years or so.
Your rolling tip is great. I use it all the time, Mike, and it does give you a lot more feedback. You could miss something if you're tapping the cane. You really could.
I think somebody else wanted to say something.
I said we do that to detect ice.
Yeah.
Would this device help with the with steps? I went to the alumni for the School for the Blind, and they've totally changed it. You have to have a GPS to get around. It's so bad now. They've added buildings, and they've got them all over the place. When I went to school, we could go without a cane, and then we took cane travel, and that was easy. But now there are buildings here and yonder, and the sidewalk's been changed. None of us can get around. I have to take a golf cart and pick us all up from the dorm to wherever. And I went off the campus with had my Trekker Breeze, and I wonder, will this device check steps? There were some steps that I almost fell down on the right-hand side of the sidewalk to go to off the campus. There was a bridge that we were going to. We had to cross that and then go to wherever and walk. And I just wondered what that would be, neat to have it. There's nothing like walking on a sidewalk and take your cane, even with a marshmallow tip, to detect steps, and you didn't know they were there. And that's scary. You could have fell down.
Well,
I experienced in Evansville when I was attending college there, junior, senior year, went down to the Talking Book Library downtown, a public library, and I was rushing to get back to my bus or whatever, trying to get the bus left on the quarter hours there or whatever the case was at the time. And they had I forgot about it, but they had an open set of stairway in the sidewalk. And I turned the corner and I went down those steps with all my books, and I just rolled down those cement steps. And I got up
Bill and got on his steps, and his cane went rolling down.
Ugh. So I wouldn't want to do that now. I did it then when I was in my early 20s, but that was quite an experience. So I've always, now I think they have to board those type of things up. But I think, I don't know that particular thing would I think it's just called Good Clean Use, maybe.
Well, I'm surprised even the blind school has open steps, though. Like those by the tower, they're, you can walk right down those steps.
You know, speaking of the blind school, I'm going to see what you guys think of this. We're going to have a big auction on April 5th, where we're just starting to put together. And we're going to have a phone number. And we're going to have a big auction. And we're getting a lot of feedback or whatever the case may be here. But anyway, we're going to have a big auction where we're donating some things, like I know some music and some hard drive of old time radio and a Victor stream and different things that we're raising money for our alumni convention this year. What would you guys think of that being broadcast live over the Legend? Because we want to make it to people throughout the country who want to bid, or I mean, maybe they want to donate. I don't know. But do you think there's a place for on a Friday, you know, some evening for a radio auction similar to what ACB does, maybe in a little much smaller scale? Panel, anybody got any ideas on that?
It couldn't hurt, Bill.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, Bill, it's a good idea. I mean, to Bill in Chicago, because, I mean, you know, we got kids that graduated ISB living all over the United States. Well, if they're listening to Legend or we get the word out, you know, they may want to just bid to help offset the alumni or whatever, to help raise funds or donate money. Because otherwise, you know, we had that conference call on the third Saturday, but it's not really nationwide alerted unless everybody looks on their ISB alumni website or something. Right. You never know what's on. So, I mean, if we get people on that listen to the Legend, because you're, you know, we may even have some people, I don't know any right now, and from ISB that maybe live outside the country. That
but, it's just something that we think we're going to do. Do we have somebody with a raised hand? I'm not sure. Chris, do you see anybody?
No, I don't see any.
We had Shirley, but she left. I think she raised her hand right as we got to the other topic. I think she might have been wanting to talk about food, but we couldn't get to her.
Right. But if Shirley, you want to come back, feel free. We've got a few minutes here at the top of the hour, but I wanted to get that in there to see what you guys thought of it.
We'd almost need an auxiliary number that they could call to actually give the information if they were going to buy something, though, because you wouldn't want them giving out all their information on the main number.
But we'd give them a second number. We're not going to put that out over the air, of course, and we've got that second number. But Michael, maybe you've seen it this through Zoom. I think there's a feature, you can get a feature where you can make an outside phone call on Zoom.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to log in. I've not seen that, but Zoom would be a better platform because they could raise their hand to express an interest in bidding or something.
Right. Right.
But I think some people like to listen to auctions just to see what things will sell for. You know, it's a niche kind of thing, but why not? You on the radio station, you could put on it whenever you want. But another thing I think was interesting that you guys are doing, and a lot of blind folks shop at Schwann's. So I would say if you have an alumni or some kind of nonprofit organization, you can set up for the Schwann's Cares, and you get 20% commission, which I think is pretty impressive.
Schwann's Cares. We do that a lot. So people do that, and
much better than that Amazon Smile where you get 0.5%.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of a ripoff to me.
And Shirley is back.
Okay, we got Shirley with a raised hand. I think we – go ahead, Shirley.
Yes, I just had a couple of quick things. First of all, I got a very, very brief look at that SONU at the ATIA conference. I'm not going to try to answer questions because I didn't get to see it that long. But I can tell you, I had a person like standing in front of me from there. And as they got further away or as they got closer to me, you know, when they got closer to me, the vibrations became stronger. I didn't try to walk around the room with it or anything. Of course, there was a lot of noise there and, you know, it was pretty crowded. But it was a very interesting
gadget to look at, and it has been out for a couple of years, and it's supposed to have a watch component with it also, that, you know, vibrates for the time and things, but I did not see that part of it. So I think it would be a real interesting gadget. I don't know if I would want to pay, you know, that price, but there would definitely be some learning curve, but it was intriguing. I mean, there was no doubt about the fact that, especially as you talked about, you know, like as you get closer to items, but learning, you know, where they would be in proximity to where you are, or, you know, whether they're above your head or whatever, you know, there would be some learning to it, but I would be curious to see more about it. So,
was it heavy?
You guys will enjoy it. No, not at all. They just put it on your wrist, and it was pretty lightweight. You know, they just strapped it on my wrist like a watch band. And it was not very heavy at all. So, and I did want to ask you guys real quickly if you had ever had a chance to put that podcast together that you were going to do with the two Libre
demos. But we're going to. We just had so much computer problem the last week or two. But we have more time this week, so hopefully we can get that done within the next, because you're not the first person who's asked for that. So
okay. Well, I've got something coming up in about a week and a half or so, and I wondered if you would have it.
Always hit me back, too. If you haven't heard from me in a couple of days, you know how to reach me.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Let's see what time it is. Thank you, Shirley.
10 a.m.
Oh, 10 o'clock. It's almost time for that award-winning demo time. And this week, you guys are going to be doing something that's really good for all of us.
Yeah, we're going to try this again this week because, you know, because of the problems we had last week with the WaterPik Fusion, Sonic WaterPik Fusion.
I think it's under WaterPik.
And
what's it called again?
I think it's WaterPik.
WaterPik.
Oh, I found it. WaterPik Sonic Fusion.
Yep.
You know, actually, it's nice to be able to do something and it actually works this week, isn't it?
Oh, well, things happen.
Well,
Knock on wood.
Give it just a second here to propagate over and we'll be ready to go with your demo. And factually, we are ready right now. And so I think you can sit back and enjoy this for the next, well, let's see how long it is. About 20 minutes, and you can do something that's really good and healthy for all of us.
Good morning, everyone. Well, today, once again, we're going to do something a little bit out of the ordinary. We have had some requests to do a new product that is out. It was shown on TV, and of course, Chris and I were interested in it because it's a pretty valuable piece of equipment. This is a Sonic Fusion WaterPik. And for those of you that don't know what that is, it is a gizmo for maintaining your teeth. And this unit is a unit that can floss and brush at the same time. But first of all, I'll have Chris give you a little bit of information about the product.
This is the Sonic Fusion WaterPik brusher flosser combination. It is $199.80, or if you get the as seen on TV one, it's four payments of $49.95. Now, we opted to pay for the whole thing. WaterPik's phone number is, or at least the one I saw on the website, this may be the as seen on TV number. I'm not really positive about that, but I'm sure they can help you get where you need to go. It's 866-595-3723. That's 866-595-3723. You can
go to getsonicfusion.com. That's GetSonicFusion.com. Now, this comes with 12 brush heads. So they tell you for one person, it's a 3-year supply if you change every 3 months like you're supposed to.
When you take the unit out of the box, you will find a long case. It's a plastic case. It's probably about 8 inches long. And on the top of the case, in the front of the case, there's a little tab, and you just take your fingers and flip it down.
Like a lot of cases, it's kind of a snap
thing. Yeah, and it snaps. And you open up the case, and inside the case, there is a cordless, if you want to call it electric, we'll just call it
rechargeable
handle. And also in that case is there are two toothbrushes. And also in the case are two caps. There are little covers that go over the toothbrush when you're not using it. Now also in the box, there is a water container. It's let me take a look here. The water container is I would say it's about 4 inches right to left. It's about 3.5 inches high front to back, probably 2.5 inches, maybe 3. And the water, then you have the water container, and then you have an electric unit, and you can tell that because it's got a cord on it. And the unit is about almost the same size as that water container, a little bit smaller in height.
I'm going to guess that water container holds more or less 12 ounces.
That's probably about right. And on this electric unit, you have a, on the front of the unit, and you can tell when you're looking at the front of the unit, I'm walking around here when I'm looking at this, on the front of the unit, you will find a coiled up, it's like a coiled up hose.
Real thin.
It's real thin. And on the end of the hose, if you pull that hose out, there is a round plug on the end of the hose. And what you do with this is before you plug the unit into the wall is you take this hose and you take the cordless toothbrush or handle, if that's what you want to call it, which holds the toothbrush. And on the bottom end of the, well, on the top end of the handle, there's a little shaft that sticks up. That's where you put the toothbrush. It just slips down onto the handle, onto the shaft of the handle. And once you once you do that, then you look down at the bottom end of the handle, and there's a round hole in the bottom of the handle, and you will plug the end of that hose into the bottom of the handle. It just plugs right into the hole that's in the bottom of the handle. And then on the handle itself, we'll just call it the cordless toothbrush, there are two buttons up towards the top, up towards the shaft where you put your toothbrush on. And the top button is for brushing your teeth. That starts the cordless toothbrush. And the one below that starts the water that comes from that electric unit and goes through that hose and goes into the cordless toothbrush. When you press that bottom button, it's right below the toothbrush button. And when you press that, then you look at the electric unit, and on the front of the electric unit, there is a round knob. It's the only...
Like the old station wheel knobs on the radio.
It does. It looks like an old-fashioned radio knob. And as you turn it, the more water it puts out through the toothbrush itself. So you can technically start the press the toothbrush button after you put your toothpaste on the brush, and you can start brushing, but you can also press the button below it and add the water to it at the same time. Now, myself, I like to use the toothbrush first and then use the water when I'm finished brushing the teeth.
The thing is, if you try to use them both at exactly the same time, you rinse all your toothpaste away pretty quick. So we have found that it's better to do most of your toothbrushing before you turn the water on, and then go do the water and the brush later.
So basically, the first thing you would do, the way you use this gizmo, is I did explain, you know, what you do with the cordless toothbrush or the handle with the toothbrush on the cordless handle. Now, if you want to floss, you go over to the electric unit. You make sure you the water container that you took out of the box, fill that with water, and it just sits down on the top of the base unit or the electric part of the unit.
There's a little round post on one end of the bottom that matches a little round hole. Right? That's how, there's only one way it can go on.
Right. So you set the water container down onto the base unit. And after you set the water container down onto the base unit, then you come over and you, as I said before, you have that hose plugged into the bottom end of the toothbrush cordless handle. And then you press the second button down, or the bottom button on the handle, and that starts the water. And then as you run your toothbrush across your teeth, it flosses. And you can do I always do the outside first and then go back and do the inside of the teeth to make sure I've gotten all the stuff off. And now, believe me when I tell you, the thing does a fantastic job. It really does. Wouldn't you say, Chris?
Yeah, they caution you that when you use it, to be sure you're either over the sink or have it in your mouth when you turn the water on, because it does shoot the water out.
It does. It's pretty powerful unit. Then as you're flossing, if you reach over and find that knob on the electric unit, and you can adjust that to whatever, how much water power you want to go into your teeth. I use full power on mine. I guess, I don't know why, but I do. And of course, that uses more water faster, but it also helps me get the job done faster.
We should also say that, like many of the modern day battery toothbrushes, you'll get a little pause when how can I say this? They divide your toothbrushing into four parts: upper right, upper left, lower right, lower left, whatever order you want to do them in. But there's a little pause when they want you to switch. They've divided it up for you if you care to use that.
Of course, course, when you're done using this, you want to make sure that you take the you can take the toothbrush off of the handle. You just slide it off.
Yeah, unless you're going to be the only one using it.
Yeah, and the only one using it, you can dip the toothbrush itself in some, in the water and rinse it off and stuff like that.
Put the cap on everybody.
And that you take the, well, yeah, that was a thing I did forget. If you had put on that cap on the end of that brush, that plastic cap that was in the box, you got to make sure you take that off before you start using it. Otherwise, it's not going to do you any good.
I really like this set because they do have the caps for the brushes, and you've got the little case that you can use for a travel case. And the other thing you might want to mention is if your teeth, particularly if your teeth are sensitive to cold, you might want to use warm water.
Right. I like to use cool water because I can tell a little bit more what I'm doing, especially if I want to go between the teeth and I can feel the water, but then my teeth aren't quite as sensitive as some people's are. So, but that's everybody may think a little bit different than I do. So that's all right. Now, once you set this toothbrush, once you have the hose plugged into it and you want to set it on the base unit, which you definitely want to do because that charges the cordless toothbrush handle. So you want to make sure that you do that. But in order to put the unit onto the electric unit or base unit, we'll call it, at the bottom of the at the bottom of the handle where you plug that hose in, on one side or the other, there is a round, well, it's the end that was on the hose. And when you plug that hose in, there's a little button on the back of, if you have it turned correctly, the back of the handle, turn it so that the little round button is facing towards the base, the front of the base unit, because on the base unit, at the bottom of, on the front of the unit, there is a round hole where the toothbrush will set into. And so you want to make sure that that button is facing the electric unit, so from the back of the handle, and so that it will set down into that hole. And of course, then you plug the unit in. And I'll give you an example of what this thing sounds like.
Do you need me to hold the recorder?
I think I can put it in my pocket. I'll put the recorder in my pocket. So, first thing I will assume I was brushing my teeth, which I'm not going to because I already did. So, anyway, I couldn't talk while I was brushing, or at least if I did, it wouldn't sound very good. So, now, if I was going to brush my teeth, I would press the, I had the unit off the base unit, the hose is connected to it, I had the cap off the brush, and if I press the top button on the handle, then I get the cordless toothbrush. Now, if I want to floss while I'm brushing, I would press the second button, the one underneath the toothbrush button. You know, press the floss button to shut that off. You can hear what that sounded like. Turn the toothbrush off. Now I would just press just the floss button by itself. I'm getting splashed. And that's what it sounds like. You press the button to start it. You press it again to stop it, the same as the toothbrush. And that is pretty much how this gizmo works. And like I said, the toothbrush handle is rechargeable. So as long as you have it on that base and you have the unit plugged into the wall, it will recharge. That's how the unit works. Does a good job. We
like it.
We like it.
It's especially good if you have bridge work or anything like that that you need to get under.
Yeah. They make all kinds of dental floss and all and things like that, and what they call threaders. Like if you have a bridge and you need something to go under it, and I hate those things. But this I don't have to worry about, and you actually find it to be fun to actually brush your teeth.
We got it. Well, of course, Waterpik's been out for a long time, and they've always made a good product, but we got this in December. This is one of their newest products that they have out.
Well, I suppose I should let Chris give you the information about the product once more.
This is the Sonic Fusion Waterpik Brush and Flosser. And Waterpik, by the way, for those of you who may not have seen it, it's W-A-T-E-R-P-I-K with no space, just so you know. And the phone number is 866-595-3723. That's 866-595-3723. It's $199.80. Or four payments of $44.95. You can also go to getsonicfusion.com. That's GetSonicFusion with no spaces .com.
Chris and I are always looking for new products to demo, and we like to try a lot of the new products. So,
if you have any suggestions, we'd be happy to hear them.
That's what I was just going to say.
Oh, okay. Because we're running out of ideas, quite honestly.
Well, that's how the unit works, and it does what it's told. And if you have any questions, you can email Bill Sparks at bill@billsparks.org. That's bill@billsparks.org.
Or if you have any comments or questions about this product during this on-air broadcast, you may reach us by dialing 646-558-8656. That's 646-558-8656. You'll press pound, and when you're asked for the meeting ID, 848-725-450, 848-725-450, you will be told to press pound again, which you need to do, and you'll be asked for a user ID, and you just press pound one more time to be in the Zoom room with us.
Well, as I said, that's all the time we have for this demo. Stay tuned next week for
another exciting demo.
Well, at least that was a clean demo.
That was awesome, guys. That was great.
Great stuff. Do you find that you guys share this one, correct?
What was that, Bill?
Yeah, we share the handle.
Do you share?
Yeah, we share the handle, but not the brushes.
Where do you put the brushes after? Like you have to take your brush off and get and then Chris puts her on. Where do you keep the brushes on this thing?
There's a case, a travel case for the handle and the brushes and the caps.
Is it a lot of trouble switching back and forth?
No.
No, you just slip them on, slip them off.
And so you guys have no problem with that whatsoever.
Not at all.
One quick question, Bill, Dave. I saw where you said the hose connects to the bottom of the unit, but when you charge the unit, you don't have to disconnect the hose. Is that what I was trying to understand?
That's right. What happens is where the hose comes out of the base unit, it's like coiled so that like when you lift, you can leave it connected to the brush if you choose to do that. And so whenever you go to set it onto the unit, it just kind of coils back up.
Sort of like a telephone receiver to a phone curly cord, only it's not as thick and the curls are much larger.
Boy, they haven't changed this thing in a long time. I had a water pick back in the 60s that's pretty much the same design.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It works.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I like it because when I was in, I think it was third grade, and I dove in a swimming pool at the school and hit the wall. My face hit the wall and knocked out a tooth. And I put up with that for years, and finally they put a bridge across there. And I tried those threaders and flossers and all kinds of stuff, and they just didn't work too well. And this thing eliminates those problems.
Not only that, but if your teeth are close together, it'd be a whole lot easier to use that than to use the floss. I have so much trouble getting the floss between my teeth, because they're, especially my back teeth, because they're so close together.
That's right.
And because you can adjust the water intensity, it can really put it through there, or not, if whatever you want.
I like that power. Turn it up.
Get water all over the ceiling.
Yeah, but he likes to run everything on high.
Yeah.
You find your teeth are a lot cleaner. Yeah.
It does an exceptional good job doing it. You know, it keeps the teeth nice and clean. And what the toothpaste doesn't get, the water does.
Shirley has a raised hand.
Yeah, I just saw that.
Go ahead, Shirley.
Okay, my question is, and maybe I just kind of missed this part of it. I was trying to understand in my mind, I understand the toothbrush concept, but if you want to go into the flossing part, which of course they want that to be like in between your teeth, how does that toothbrush go in between your teeth, or is there another tip or something that you use so, you know, it's not just brushing over your teeth again? I mean, I don't understand how it differentiates
inside the toothbrush. When you snap it onto the handle, there's a little tiny tip that's actually inside of the toothbrush itself. When you connect that hose to the handle of the the cordless unit that you put the brush on, that water actually comes out of the toothbrush.
So what you do, you go over the sides of your teeth again, and the water goes between them that way.
Yeah, it shoots right out of the toothbrush.
So instead of using the actual piece of dental floss, the water is doing what you're taking the floss and sticking it through your teeth.
That's correct.
Okay.
You know, I've noticed, I don't know if anybody else has had this problem, but when you're doing floss, we got these kind of plastic flosses with the pick. Some dentists don't like them, some do. But, or you can do the string yourself and, you know, do it off the roll and do your floss that way. It's a little harder to do, but that water would make that a little bit easier and get to those places that you couldn't, or that was difficult to get to, maybe. I don't know.
It would get down deeper under your gum line than just floss would, too.
But you're still basically going over the area with that same brush as if you were doing your teeth. It's just shooting the water in there as you're doing it, correct?
Right. You can either do both at the same time with the toothpaste and the water, or you can just do the water by itself.
Okay. I just think I'd make a mess with it.
The original water pick, they do. Have you seen the original ones when they first came out? They didn't have the toothbrushes. They had these, and they still have the same ones now today. They just have the picks, the little, you know, that you put on the end of the unit, and it doesn't have a toothbrush, but it still does the flossing part. Have you seen those, the original ones?
No, you could make messes with.
That one you definitely yeah, you could make a mess with.
Yeah, that's what we have. We have the
original. You could make some messes with those, and I think I've done that.
Not you. You'd never make a mess.
You make enough trouble with toothpaste the way it is. But it does sound like an interesting concept. Now, the dentist.
Well, if you keep your mouth closed, you shouldn't shoot water everywhere.
You're supposed to keep your mouth partially closed, though, because that keeps the water from escaping and going all over.
You know, but me, I couldn't do that when I used to use the sea pan machine. I couldn't.
2 minutes, Bill. Maybe you could.
I don't know. That would be an interesting. But anything to improve your dental health would be a good thing. You know, so we.
You know, our dentist said we should get one, Bill.
The other question, and I know we got a raised hand, is. I've seen these out there for $80 at Costco's, and these are $199. Now, are all these created equally, or are we buying the name brand here?
I would prefer Waterpik because they're well known.
Yeah, they are pretty well known.
I like to stick with the Waterpik because I know that they're good.
Yeah, I would say to go with the Waterpik brand. It's more money, but
they got all the extra brushes, though, Bill. They got like 12 brushes with there. Some of those that Costco has for $80 don't have 12 brushes with them, even though they're Waterpiks.
Ellen has a raised
hand.
Go ahead, Ellen. Do you want to get clean here?
Hang on a minute.
Okay.
There I am. Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right. No, I was just, I think you answered my question, but I was wondering how much they ran. So just because I think this is good investment for, for people who have trouble handling a regular toothbrush and or floss. So that's what
I'm wondering. You know what? I'm going to say floss can sometimes be challenging, at least for me it can. But then again, I don't know how to get the screws off my, my Braille display to get the battery out. So, you know, I can do that. So I'm probably the world's worst at this kind of stuff. So, you know, they say.
I don't know. I might run a close second with you, Bill.
I'm severely challenged. So, but yeah, I think it would be a good thing, but that's why I was asking that question. You know, they've got them. I've seen. Now you mentioned four payments, Chris. Is that four from QVC or is that four from the company?
That's through the company.
Through the company.
No, to my knowledge, QVC hasn't gotten it on there yet. I don't think.
So it is. It is something that you can do, and it's probably worthwhile to invest in that because. Not to be gross here, but sometimes you need some particle or something gets stuck in your mouth or teeth or whatever. And you really need to get that stuff out of there. And you don't always think about going finding the floss or the pick or it's like you've got to get into a routine, the mode of it. You know,
there's also a big debate among dentists. My dentist says, yes, you can use the Waterpik and it's, but it still doesn't replace the actual dental flossing device. Whether you use the floss, the thread that you got to roll around on your finger, or you buy those individual flossing pieces, which have the pick as well. My dentist says it doesn't replace that. But my daughter's dentist says there's no problem using the Waterpik and it's just as good as flossing. So there's a lot of mixed opinions on this.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
We're going to our dentist in April, and so we'll see what he says.
Our dentist told me it was better than flossing because it got deeper under your gum line.
It does.
Than if you floss.
Oh, and that water will knock anything out of there. Especially
when it cleans your mouth or gets the stuff out of there. Can't be bad. It can't hurt you, I don't think. I think there's only an upside to it. Now, do you want to invest that much money in your mouth? Maybe you do. Maybe you don't.
Well, my grandparents had dentures when they were in their early 50s. I think, you know, they lost their teeth very early. So I think keeping your teeth good now.
Like some people, you know, they just gum it. They just eat their stuff, but then they don't enjoy their food, you know, because then they have to avoid things and because, you know, that stuff they've let go.
Well, good oral health has many benefits. I mean, including, you know, bad oral health can even lead to heart problems. I mean, there's a lot of things.
Yeah, you're right there, Mike.
Yeah, he's exactly right there because your mouth is not, I mean, just anything. I mean, it really helps. So did you chances of infection spreading throughout the body, whatever the case may be.
Yeah. I've used a water pick for about the last 20 years. Of course, I've never seen this new one. They just demonstrated. But I like my old one where it's got the little tiny fine point on it, and you just turn the water on and spray it right between your teeth.
And they still make that. And,
yeah, no, that's the type I like. And the thing I like about it, I don't know if you can yours, Dave, or not, but my old one, you can put, if you want to freshen up, you can put, oh, maybe a couple drops of mouthwash in it when you're doing it also.
I don't see why you couldn't, because it, you know, it's just a water container. I don't know if I'd put a whole lot in there because you wouldn't.
You just put a couple drops as it kind of makes the water freshen up a little better to give you a better fresh in your mouth. And I got to ask you guys a question. I've had people ask me this before, friends of mine that are blind. How do you guys put your toothbrush? Do you put your toothpaste on your brush or how you do it?
Yeah.
Put it on the brush.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have trouble doing that?
No. But that was a question that a lot of people, a lot of clients used to ask me all the time, especially people who had just gone blind. That was a pretty common question, how to do
right.
that.
Right. Well, I know.
There was one agency that told people they should take the tube of toothpaste and stick it in their mouth and squeeze so much out into their mouth and then use their toothbrush.
No.
Well, that's fine if you're not sharing tubes of toothpaste.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Right. Well, you're sharing the toothpaste. Now, the way a friend of mine done it, and I've told some other people, you just take your finger and put a tiny bit on your finger and then stick in your mouth and put the toothbrush in. Because even my dentist said it's the same thing. You don't really need the paste on the brush as long as you get it in your mouth. And then hit the brush against the toothpaste. Your mouth will do the same thing.
I don't know. Maybe it's because we've done it since time. And
oh, I know. People done it that, but I'm just curious because some people can't get it on the brush. You know, they keep dropping it off and they try to get some more and then it drops off.
Who remembers the old days when the toothpaste used to have a button and I remember it was one brand that you would push a button to put the toothpaste on your brush.
I always lay my toothbrush in the sink. With the bristles up, so that if it does fall off, it falls off in the sink and not all over the counter or something.
Right. Mm-hmm. But no, I was just curious because I know I've heard pro and con on how people do their toothbrush. Well,
there's all kinds of pretty neat ways to find the brush. I mean, if you hold the brush in one hand and take the toothpaste over to the brush.
Oh yeah, right.
Just give it a little squirt, and you got it.
You know, but Dave, the funny thing is I was working for Easter Seals at the time back in the 1970s, and there was a Activities of Daily Living set of tapes, and the guy who produced this tape said that if you live alone and you're uncomfortable putting the toothpaste on the brush the way you're talking about, Dave, he didn't think it was a problem putting it in your mouth and squeezing them in your mouth because the bottom line is you're the only one living at home. But obviously, you can't do that if you share the tube with other people.
Yeah, really.
But I think we were just taught from an early age that, you know, you squeeze it on the brush. I don't think.
Oh, yeah, I do the same thing. But, I mean, just some people have had trouble, and that's how they say.
But, Bill, that method you just mentioned by putting a little on your finger and then putting your finger in your mouth certainly is not hurting anything.
No, and if you got a shared tube, you're not really affecting the other person. It's not like
as long as you don't double dip and just eat more and go back and take that same finger.
We'll be going to your house if we have chips and dip then, Jennifer, you know.
I think, you know, I heard this. One of the people came out from one of our local agencies and spoke to our Lions Club and said that. And the other blind lady and I just come unglued after the meeting. We told those people, don't listen to that guy. We never heard of such nonsense. And I have heard of it more and more, but, you know, it's amazing that, you know, the people cannot put toothpaste on a toothbrush.
Right. Well, you know, some of these new instructors, I know I was talking to or listening to one thing, and I just was there. And it's like what they call the easiest way for the blind to do it, but it makes you seem like you're more blind than you are. Some of the things they have you do, it's just more blinding than blind. if you know what I'm saying, you know.
But
Well, that goes back to the old, you know, if you want to know how to do something as a blind person, ask other blind folks, you know.
Right.
Someone
right,
sighted with their 4-year degree or more is not going to, they don't live your life. They don't know.
Right. They have lived it. Mm-hmm. It's like accessibility on a website. Until you've lived it and done it, it's hard for you always. Now, visually, things you can probably see, but it's the same concept. You know, until you live that or until you walk that walk over there, it gets to the old thing that we were talking about before. And we'll say this for just a few minutes before we get to Chris's recipe, but do you completely trust a totally blind O&M instructor, or do you want a sighted one? Or does it matter to you?
It does matter. I don't care what they say. And I know the NFB might say differently, but I really believe that someone who is sighted is probably going to be better at the teaching of mobility. There are people who will tell me I'm wrong, but I personally don't think so.
You know, a lot of, you know, Mike, do you have any one way or another on that?
I can't imagine being taught O&M by a blind person, but I mean, maybe enhancing. But then again, I was taught what I now consider to be an ineffective cane technique that I used for years and years. So
I have worked with blind instructors, and as long as they don't try to teach it the same way a sighted person does, there are techniques that they use that sighted people wouldn't use. For example, they wouldn't follow half a block behind you. But I think that a good blind instructor is really good. I think they're fine. I don't have a problem with it as long as they're a good instructor. And as long as they use techniques developed for blind instructors and not for sighted instructors.
There we go.
Tim, you raise your hand.
Tim, is he muted for any reason?
Go ahead, Tim. I unmuted you. You were muted. I can't unmute him. Oh, he muted himself. Tim, you're going to have to unmute yourself. I can't unmute you.
There, finally it worked. All right. Anyway, I was going to say, blind instructors are what Blind Incorporated uses, and we've had total success. I mean, as far as people learning travel and things like that, you know, with that system, and it's been going on since when did we start? 1988. Without any problems. I would trust a blind person a lot more than a sighted person because they know what they're dealing with. They know how to use the cane and what's effective and what isn't.
I would say that might be true, Tim, but in this day of age with us, with cars and streetlights that aren't quite the same as they were back in the 50s, because they aren't. A lot of these lights are push-button controlled, or they don't work the same way. The cars are quieter. I don't know if I agree with you on that, Tim. That's just my opinion. But
well, seems like the ideal scenario would be to have a bit of both, but you know, it depends. I happen to have an instructor who's been doing it for 25 years as opposed to some of these people that are new and just going on what they heard should be done and not have the real world experience.
By the way, it's sometimes hard. It's going to be harder and harder to find a mobility instructor these days because they don't, you know, a lot of these places don't pay a lot of money, and it's there are a lot less people wanting to get into that field of what do they call it, parapetology.
And Tim, are you comfortable crossing the streets or 4 or 6-lane highways with a totally blind instructor? And I don't mean that in a bad way. Does that give you any pause for cause?
Not really. No. The only thing I haven't had experience with that I should try is crossing the roundabout.
Don't.
I intend to. I want to learn how people do it. And
I just think that a good blind instructor is fine. I'm perfectly comfortable crossing even the interstate access roads with a blind mobility instructor. Louisiana Center for the Blind has them too, and they're very good.
Yeah,
I would say the roundabout, Tim, I would really be careful of that one. I know people who have almost gotten hit by roundabouts, and they can see. They're not easy to use, and all the mobility instructors who I've known who taught the, who teach blind people who've done it for years, the guy that just retired from in New York State has done, did it for almost 30 years, I should say. He does not advocate for blind people trying to get around the crossing a roundabout by himself or herself.
Well, maybe he needs to retire because that's the thing. I mean, if you can find a way to do it, that's a good thing because they're coming.
Well, they may be coming, Chris, but I can tell you right now that when the cars are going all around you, it's not so easy to figure out how to cross that thing. And they do go all around you. And I don't, that's a pretty dangerous thing. That's just my opinion. I don't know.
Well, then the other thing is what makes sure you're back on the same street you're on when you go around about, because I know we years ago did one in Washington, D.C., and I think, well, my daughter was driving. I wasn't walking them, but we were driving. And I think we went around that thing about 8 times to find the street we just come off of, because all those streets merge there. And it's like, okay, you figure, okay, Washington Street should be right across from Washington Street. And the roundabout is not. Sometimes it angles off a little ways. You know, you wind up on all kinds of streets when you got like 8 or 9 streets coming into that roundabout. Even walking, I could see if you're totally blind, walking around about, you better know how many streets it is. Say you're walking on Washington Street and you want to go on Washington, goes through the roundabout and you go on the other side. How many streets you have to cross going around the circle to get to Washington Street? Unless you know all the names of all the streets. You know.
Yeah, that might be a good use for something like Nearby Explorer.
Yeah, right. But if you, but if not everybody has a Nearby Explorer or a GPS system, you know, you right. gotta figure out.
Do you think we've only got 4 more minutes left before we're going to go to the recipe. So, do you think a guide dog is a serious big help when you're traveling like this with roundabouts or big crossings? Or do you think a guide dog has an advantage over cane travelers? A good guide dog.
Well, I think it does as far as spotting, like if a car is coming close to you, because they're taught to not walk out in front of a car. Thing, but like I say, if you're on the outside of the roundabout walking around, the dog's not going to know, okay, I'm on Washington Street and the other side, I got to pass, say, Jefferson, Adams, Milwaukee, something like that. That
a dog good guide dog will keep you in the crosswalk, too, and that'll help.
Well, yeah, keeping the cross. But I'm saying that if you're going to walk around it, the dog won't know what street to turn to if you're on a roundabout. Unless he's walked the same route every day now.
I think he was talking about in general, weren't you, Bill? Just like basic travel.
I would say in a high traffic urban area, I would think it would be an advantage to have that dog.
Well, there is always Ira. You have Ira.
Tim has a lot of money, doesn't he?
Well, no, for those that have Ira, that is an option.
But see, doesn't tell you when to cross, though, or doesn't. I don't know if Ira is a big help.
They can help with the streets.
No, they can help you with the streets.
Yeah, they can say, "Cool, you're on the path of a car." Yeah,
I would say I'm not going to touch the roundabouts myself. I got hit once by a car years ago, and I don't want to have it happen to me again.
Yeah, but seriously, it is a serious subject, and maybe something we'll go into more in depth sometime when we have more time. But we really better change segments and get to that recipe, because Chris has a lot of things she wants to cook, I think.
Okay, this is a copycat recipe from one of the copycat websites, and it is a copycat, and they tell you it is. It is a chicken casserole that's supposed to be like the Cracker Barrel restaurant's chicken casserole. The topping is 1 cup of yellow cornmeal, 1/3 cup flour, 1.5 teaspoons of baking powder, 1 tablespoon of sugar, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon baking soda, 2 tablespoons vegetable oil, and 3/4 cup buttermilk, 1 egg, and 1/2 cup of melted butter. Now, the filling is 2.5 cups of cooked chicken breast cut into bite-sized pieces, 1/4 cup of yellow onion chopped, 1/2 cup of celery sliced thin, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon freshly ground black pepper, 1 10¾-ounce can of cream of chicken soup, 1 3/4 cup of chicken broth, 2 tablespoons of butter. Now, it's you know, kind of involved, but it is good. On the topping, you mix all of your ingredients together except the melted butter in a mixing bowl till it's smooth. You pour it into a greased 8x8 baking pan, and you bake at 375 for 20 to 25 minutes until it's done. You remove it from the oven and you let it cool completely. Now, that part you could do the day before, which would make it nice. And when it's cool, you crumble. It's basically cornbread. You crumble the cornbread and you place 3 cups of the cornbread crumbs in a mixing bowl. You add the melted butter to the crumbs and mix it well, set aside. For the filling, in a small saucepan, saute the onions and celery in butter on medium-low heat until transparent, stirring occasionally, and that's just a few minutes. Add chicken broth and soup, salt and pepper. Stir until well blended and pour. No, wait a minute. And soup is dissolved completely. Add your chicken. Stir until it's blended and in the mixture, you leave it on the stove till it reaches a low simmer. And you cook it for 5 minutes just to kind of get the flavors to join each other. And you place the chicken mixture in a buttered quart, in a buttered 2.5 quart casserole dish or buttered individual casserole dishes. You spread your cornbread crumbs that you've mixed, those 3 cups with the butter. You spread that on top of the chicken mixture. And you don't stir it, just leave that on top. And you bake that in a, turn your oven down to 375 and bake that for 35 to 40 minutes. And the crumbs should turn to a golden yellow and get a little bit crispy. And that's what it is. It's a little bit involved, but.
Have you tried it?
Sounds good, though.
Have you made this recipe yourself, Chris?
Yeah.
And it came out pretty good? Wow.
Yeah, it's very similar to Cracker Barrels.
Chris, I got a suggestion. I just made that recipe the other day. Didn't even know you had one like that. But I substituted because I didn't feel like making all that cornbread topping. But you do the same thing for the bottom ingredients you said for your filling. But I added mixed vegetables to mine, cooked them, and then added them to it, a little more of a meat filling. And then what I did to shorten it, because my daughter said, we're not making cornbread and that topping. Because she saw the recipe somewhere. What I did, I took a can of refrigerated biscuits and just laid them on top of the filling and baked them at about a 400-degree oven for about 15 minutes. And it come out, the biscuits are perfect and it come out great.
Oh, that's a shortcut. Then it's not Cracker Barrel copycat.
No, but I'm saying
no, that's a chicken pot pie.
Right, you want to make the same thing, right. If you want to do similar, the same thing, right. You don't have to make all that cornbread.
And that's making me hungry.
I think Buddy has raised his hand.
Yeah, that sounds like a good recipe, especially in that new oven. I'm going to try that new oven that you demoed. I was really impressed by it. What about maybe black pepper chicken? That would be a good recipe. I meant to ask Alexa, does she have one, and haven't done that yet.
But what kind of chicken?
Black pepper chicken.
Well, I don't know. I'd have to hunt for one.
If you Google it, may find.
Probably Google it. Probably find it.
You know what the best thing about Cracker Barrel is when you go to the gift shop, Chris, at the end, because you always go through the gift shop, is getting the whatchamacallit. I have a phone call here. He's getting the peppermint sticks.
All right. Margie likes the peppermint sticks, and a while ago she said the best recipe for a roundabout is by Yes. I thought Tim would like that.
I was looking for your black peppered chicken while I was.
Well, I've got over 6,000 recipes here, so we will see what we can find. And of course, I don't have Chris's email, so I'll send it to you, Bill. And you can. I guess I should join the coffee club email list. That would be a good idea.
Yeah, that would be great. Just join anybody can join. Just go to the website and sign up for the coffee club website, and you can share recipes or do whatever you need to do. And as far as that goes, you can join the All Things Radio mailing list too. So, but you can do, is everybody getting muted?
We hear you.
I keep hearing mute.
Uh-oh.
But anyway, those are some good recipes. That sounds real good. I don't usually get that involved with recipes. I just sling a little of this and a little of that, and that's probably why I get the disaster I do sometimes.
Yeah, I didn't realize biscuits became dumplings. And
yeah. What was it I cooked the other day that was just terrible? What was it, Jennifer? I cooked it the other day. Oh, fish. I'm not really big on fish anyway. I got some fish from the store, and I thought all fish was breaded by default. No. Oh.
No.
It wasn't breaded.
You baked it, right?
You might try Abastar. Abastar makes a good brand of fish.
You put it in the air fryer.
I put it in the air fryer and overcooked it. Because.
Fish is something I want to do in the oven.
Well, he thought it was going to be breaded, so he cooked it like it was breaded, and it was rubber chickens.
Rubber
fish.
Try Abastar fish. They're good. They make flounder. They make whitefish. They make
Sam says some really good catfish you might like, Bill, if you like catfish. That's one of my favorites.
Is it breaded?
It's slightly breaded, yeah. But you still want to put your own seasoning on it, whatever you like.
Abastar is breaded.
He needs to get some Mrs. Paul's crunchy potato fillets.
I like those Gorton's fish sticks. I used to like those. I hated the fish sticks they had at the School for the Blind when I was a kid. Well, those fish
they were good.
They were terrible when I had them. But
we had them. They were flat. And do you remember when fish sticks were great big and they were flat? Now they're a little. If you buy, you'd have to just about buy two bags to get one serving. They're not really. That's an exaggeration. But do you remember when they were flat and big, and they were. Mrs. Paul's, I think, are the best, but they're small, and they don't make big fish sticks.
Yeah, they're overly breaded.
The CPAC shrimp are good. The coconut shrimp are delicious. You cook them about in the air fryer about 375 for 8, 15, 16, 17 minutes. I think a meatloaf would be neat in that new oven. I'm going to get one of those new ovens.
Hey, Jeff, yes. Real quick. We never had fish sticks when I was in school. We didn't have them that back then in the 50s. But we had codfish, and we'd have codfish every Friday, and you could smell the codfish before you got to the dining room, because still had all the cod odor in it and everything.
That would get me sick. I'm not a big fish person like that. But,
well, for those who don't know, and I feel sorry.
We had salmon patties.
Yeah, go ahead, Ben.
I say, for those of you who don't know, and I feel sorry for the residents of Indiana, but the School for the Blind in Indianapolis had the worst food I ever had in my life.
I agree with you. Because I got to tell you guys a story real quick, and Bill doesn't know this one either. This was back in the late 50s. One day we go in the dining room and it's having chili. And can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay. Well, anyways, they had chili. Getting the feedback. They had chili, and the meat had spoiled. And their deal was that they served it to us. No one ate it. We threw it all out. But the reason they served chili was because they figured the chili spoiled meat would taste better than in Spanish rice.
You know, I've seen this. I went to the School for the Blind. I wasn't there when it happened. But they served cream chicken, and everyone got food poisoning, and everyone got deathly ill. So,
right. Uh-huh.
What can you say?
What year were you at the school, Mike?
Well, I went to Illinois.
Oh, you went to Illinois. Okay.
But they ruined me on Brussels sprouts for a long time. Those things were so slimy and nasty, I would never even try Brussels sprouts. They always tasted like dirt.
We had the best sloppy Joes of anybody, and we had the best chili con carne at the school.
We had a cook named Miss Mary that worked at a restaurant originally, and she cooked great food. Everyone was so upset when she left. She worked there for a few years and left, and the food went downhill real bad.
Well, that's like when we were there, we had cooks that weren't that good, and then they got the head cook was a guy that was he was a cook for the Army, and I mean, he really made great, food and that, And he was there about 2 years, and then he left. And of course, everybody didn't like that either. Yeah.
Dave and Chris, anything about food before Arkansas? How was their food in Pennsylvania?
The food in Arkansas, some of it was good and some of it wasn't. It just depended on what it was.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I think where I went to school in Pittsburgh, and their fish sticks were horrible.
Ours weren't great, but I ate them because I'm a fish lover, so it didn't really bother me.
About time to go here soon.
About time to go. It looks like we've run out of time for another coffee club. Remember the big auction. We'll be talking about it on the 5th of April, and with more details coming out about this big ISBVI alumni auction, which will help pay my salary for the year. No, but anyway, it'll help fund us. So you guys have a great week. Thanks to the panel. Thanks to everyone. And we really appreciate it. Chris,
Dave. Talk to you all later.
Take care, guys, later.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.